This is Donald Hussig with Grassroots Environmental Revolution Radio. Joining me tonight is Ralph Andaloro. Hey, Ralph, how's it going?
Okay. How are you doing? Okay,
I'm good. Ralph is the father of Thomas Andaloro. The last interview I did for this radio show was with Tom Andaloro about his exposure to Covanta incinerator ash down in Babylon, New York, on Long Island. I want to have Ralph on here tonight to just go further with this subject area and this problem here. Ralph, give us a quick, just a real brief story of what happened to your son, so in case somebody hasn't listened to, Tom's interview yet. Just, just tell us what happened to Tom, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Tom used to drive an ash truck coming off the scale with an ash, coming off the scale where everything gets weighed, where the ashes get weighed, and then he would get loaded and go to dump the ashes. Okay. After you dump the ashes, you go back to the ash pit for another load. And there's a bulldozer there that pushes the load of ash that you just dumped. And it's operated by a town employee who knows that you have no protection against the ash, no AC in the rig, no cabin filter, no special clothing, and you're working on town property. OSHA drives through this property almost every day and sees this all. The truck has got no plates, and there's a sign on it that it's not supposed to be put on a public throughway or a public roadway. The truck has got no registration. The scale house is operated by Covanta. The town is more negligent than the plant because the plant was once operated by the town, and it used to operate the incinerator, so they should know the chemicals and the hazards, and yet they let my son Tom enter the property and the dump, loading up every day, 5 days a week, just short of 5 years that he worked for Jet Sanitation or Jamaica Ash. The negligence is between the town, Covanta, and Jamaica Ash, all three parties. The town knew the hazards that my son was exposed to, and yet they never gave him any protective gear. They never did put AC in the cab. They never put the cabin filter in the cab. The safety directors from Covanta, the director of the town, put Tom at the job with no training. The plant, however, does get updated every year. However, the same ash stays. The chemicals in the ash stay the same. Right. As a result of this, my son developed a cough that he could not stop. And I had noticed this back on phone calls, talking to him, telling Tommy what's going on, what's wrong, and all that other stuff. And anyway, on about 1/21/13, we took him to a doctor out of New York State. And the reason was obvious. The reason was because I wanted a real diagnosis of what my kid had. Now, we've been going to this doctor for over a year, and he diagnosed him with COPD plus a mess of other stuff. And my son right now is coughing his brains out on this date that I talked to him. They took his health care plan away. They denied him workman's comp, even with the doctor's letters. The judge that determined this case only went according to what the first doctor had said back in January, and which was basically that he had asthma and stuff like that. However, this doctor diagnosed him with what he really had, COPD amongst other things, in bad shape. And the judge denied these papers at the court hearing, and therefore he was denied workman's comp. There's another thing that I'm going to tell. The lab that my sons went to never put down that he had COPD. They said there was no signs of it. And right after that, the doctor documented it 1,000 times. And incidentally, I'm going to say, it wasn't only this doctor that documented it. It was a group of doctors that belonged to the Holy Name Hospital in New Jersey that documented my son. And he's been denied the health care. He's been denied workman's comp. He's been denied everything that's due him, Social Security and all.
Okay.
Well, anyway, that about sums it up.
Yes, yes. Now, let's kind of like dig into it some. Why do you think, for example, why do you think it appears, you know, that there's, why is it there's, the, I looked at these pictures. Your son Tom sent me photographs of the ash building, and you can see the white ashy dust blowing out of that building, and you can see, you know, the ash on the vents of the building. It's clear that there's airborne ash there, and, you know, your son's in there, and he's breathing, so he's breathing this ash. Why do you think the company has a workplace like that when we also have in our country the OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration? You know, what's up with that? You know, why is it so bad there, and yet we have OSHA?
Okay. I could tell you this, if I could find a document. A federal judge ruled the Global Alliance Incinerator Alternatives. On 12/26/12, a federal judge ruled that the United States EPA unlawfully reclassified certain incinerators to avoid enforcing more stringent incinerator emissions. This I'm reading you right from the statement that the judge gave.
Sure.
So the EPA assessment should be scrutinized by local communities. Again, I'll repeat. On 12/26/12, the Global Alliance for Incinerator Alternatives, a federal judge ruled that the United States EPA unlawfully reclassified certain incinerators to avoid enforcing more stringent incinerator emissions. The EPA assessment, he said, should be scrutinized by communities. I wonder why. We all know why, don't we?
Yes, it's my view, as well as I'm sure, you know, yours and Tom's view and that Global Alliance for Incinerator Alternatives. It's my view that basically the government now does not exist to do what it was set up to do, to protect us. It protects the corporations so they can get away with doing whatever they do to make money and get other things cheap. And so, you know, there you go. The EPA was, you know, just helping the incinerator companies.
Donald, I'm
going
to insert one more thing. That's why there's 15,000 lobbyists in Washington. 15,000! Where if Donald went to Washington, you would have a tough time getting a hotel room.
Yeah, for sure. And then Tom was telling me that with the OSHA, that the way they would, you know, play that game was that the OSHA would give the Covanta and, you know, a heads up on when they were going to come and inspect, and then Covanta would always claim that the, you know, the ash building and that conveyor were broken down, and so there was just no need, you know, no, you couldn't do an inspection in there. So that never got inspected, according to Tom, you know.
Okay,
and, you know,
the inspection is done at a certain time per the document that I sent you. Even though it happened in the UK, Covanta was involved in the UK, and it would always be cleaned up just prior to the inspection. but they'll never inspect it at the start of the burning and never inspect it at the start of the burning. They'll never do that.
Sure.
Okay? Well, anyway, they all get tipped off. And I'm going to tell you right on the phone, they get tipped off when the inspections are going to take place. So everything is cleaned up pretty good, okay? However, what they can't clean up is the stuff that they found they find on the cars when they go home. My son works in an area that's basically an industrial area, okay? And I know the people there, you could see it, okay? You could ask the air traffic controllers. Well, anyway, it's tough. But anyway, when you have a son that's infected like this, that this kid may be on his last breath at any date, somebody is going to have to do some talking because it ain't the money. And I want to tell you something else. You know, the dioxins are also in all the food on Long Island. All these farmers and cheese plants that they have and everything else, they're all infected with dioxins, which come out of these incinerators. The dioxins and the furans could be controlled. But the neons are a little tough. They don't have the filters for that yet. But they have electric arcs that they could use to burn garbage. That's the new technology. And you ain't going to see that for a long time.
Yeah, the biggest problem that I have with incinerators operating in the U.S., over in Belgium, they have this continuous emissions monitoring where they actually capture some fraction of the dioxins that's coming out of the stack, and they keep track of this on a continuous basis. And yet here in the U.S., even though this technology exists, you know, they could install, you know, if the government was intent upon regulating these incinerators, they could require them to use the continuous emissions monitoring for dioxins. But all in all, here in the U.S., they do not use continuous emissions monitoring. Once again, on this matter of the prior notice, they tell the incinerator company when they are going to do a stack test, and then they go and do the stack test one time a year, once out of the whole year when this thing is burning 24/7, you know, every day for the whole year. This is, you know, that is no way to document how much dioxin is coming out of that smokestack. Testing once a year on notice to the company, when the company could just as well be burning a totally different waste stream under different conditions, putting out much more dioxin during these other times when there's no testing going on, and they get away with it. That's a big problem that I have with incineration here in the U.S.
They get away with it because there's lobbyists down in Washington representing the incinerator companies. You know, I could tell you, they could bump me off tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you like it is. Why do you think they have 15,000 lobbyists in Washington? 15,000.
Exactly.
And I got a copy of the... I got one of the pink sheets, the questionnaires that you put out. Who do you want to see? What is it about? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I got a copy of the lobbyist application. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that it gets to this point where my daughter had to have two of her breasts removed.
Yeah,
and you're not supposed to be saying nothing because of the payola.
There is certainly a connection between breast cancer and dioxin exposure because over in this place called Seveso, Italy, way back in the, I think it was back in about 1976, it was quite a while ago now, so they had plenty of time to figure it out, there was an explosion at a factory that was making a chemical called, I think it was called pentachlorophenol. And when you make that, there's the potential in an explosion and like this uncontrolled kind of chemical activity that's going on there. They created and released a large quantity of dioxin to the, you know, the outdoor atmosphere, and it got spread all over this area around this Seveso, Italy. And now the years have gone by, many, many years have gone by, and they studied the women that were there, and it got exposed to that, and they are finding that there is excess breast cancer in the women that were there and got that exposure to those dioxins. And the fact of the matter is, breast tissue is fat tissue. And these dioxins are fat-soluble, so this is where they are present in the body. And so if a chemical that is capable of causing cancer is present in a part of the body that has ended up getting cancer, it's pretty, you know, it's not rocket science. It's quite a clear, simple matter that these dioxins are contributing to breast cancer, and there's so much breast cancer on Long Island. You got all those incinerators down there. You know, it's clear that that is part of the problem down there. And
there's
it should not be like that.
When we lived in West Islip, there was a woman that organized a group. Her name was Rignanti. And that was back in the early 70s, breast cancer going. But now it's gone wild, everybody you talk to. My son-in-law's girlfriend's sister just had a bone taken out of her head. You know, I mean, you go on and on. You go to the diner, Mauritius Bay Diner, okay? And that's all they talk about. And incidentally, you go to Chase Bank, and there's a woman there that had a son that worked for these people that they did the number to. I'll tell you on the air, I ain't afraid of getting bumped off, baby. They could come after me anytime they want, okay? They destroyed my son. They destroyed my son.
Terrible thing.
And I want to tell you something else. This guy, Louie, that took my son's place, goes to work with an oxygen tank every day. And you could quote me on that, too. Louie is not allowed to talk to Tommy or discuss anything. Of course not. Unbelievable. You can only keep it quiet so long, baby. You know, it's going to hit sooner or later.
The truth coming out. This is what this radio show that I do is all about. The truth about chemicals causing people to get sick and the screw-up of government, you know, the deliberate failure, the decision to let the people down to support the corporations, you know, that part of that story, because that's a very large part of it.
Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people ain't going to like. When President Obama got inaugurated, and this is a fact, the Senator Charles Schumer bragged that the wine was from Long Island. But he never mentioned nothing about all the dioxins that were on the grapes that the wine came from. Okay, so at Obama's president's inauguration, they all were drinking Long Island wine. Well, let's celebrate. I may have my brains blown out tomorrow, but at least I got my piece to tell the truth. And let me tell you something. My credentials are better than any Washington politicians that knows what's going on. I'm a retired United States Warren Machinery Technician, CWO4 from the United States Coast Guard. And secondly, I'm a retired fire captain from the New York City Fire Department. So who's got better credentials to bitch about what they're doing to my son?
Yep, that should never have happened. There should not be any job where a person is required to be in a cloud of ash dust, especially the ash from an incinerator, has a solid waste incinerator like that, because that ash contains dangerous chemicals. You know,
what's the purpose of it? To save a couple of bucks? My son even offered the owner to go half and half with the air conditioner in the rig, and they turned him down. And they still owe him a day's pay.
They don't have any human compassion.
Unbelievable. I mean, how much money do you need, baby?
Yeah, it's all greedy, bad intentions.
Yeah, but I mean, the greed is out of control, Donald. It's out of control. You know, let me tell you something. To find a guy like you, I said it before. If you would put a shirt that said honesty and walk down Fifth Avenue, an ambulance would have you in Bellevue in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
there's no
like
honest people around.
Honesty is out of date. You know, it's just not, nobody's interested in being honest. You know, when they think they can make a little more money by cheating, and you know, it just goes round and round. I think, believe me, in my mind, the solution is all the good people just deciding they've had enough, and getting organized, and just protesting and protesting and protesting until the whole, you know, government just basically has to be changed. You know, you get a new government in there that is going to be the government the people choose. And I don't know the best way of going about choosing a good government. I tend to believe
they can't even get along amongst themselves.
Yep.
They can't even get along amongst themselves. Who are you going to choose?
Yep. It's a difficult matter. when you have a society that has kind of disintegrated to the point where this society is disintegrated, it would be very difficult to fix it with the people that are here and, you know, just go about, you know, having a better country. It's quite a problem. You know, I worry about it, and I'm concerned about it. And I'm hopeful that eventually the good people will work together to deal with these corporate people that are just so greedy. You know, they're very aggressive. They're very determined to take over.
We have a chance on what you're going to say. And the chance, I believe, is these kids getting out of colleges that owe all kinds of money, have got credentials better than you could ever imagine, and are turning hamburgers for a living.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
until they rise and shine and say, no, this is the way it's going to be done. And the day is coming for this country to pay the price of what they're doing today. It's going to come. I used to have a friend of mine that used to say, who's in office today? Get them out of there, put somebody else in. So you get a break by the time they change the telephone lines. And that was his belief. And he was right. But to go on what's going on today, you know, and I would, you know, this guy has had the contract for 20 years. I would like to know how many other people he buried. There's this guy, Louie, that's running my son's job today, that's working it with an oxygen tank next to him. And he's worried about his sister. That's all he talks about is his sister. And no matter who you talk to, they don't believe it. Well, I'm telling you the truth. I got credentials. Why I should lie? I got my son that's on his deathbed right now. I don't know when he's going to take his last breath.
Yeah, it seems like he's described to me the spasms that his lungs and his body will have because of the problem with his lungs. And it sounds just like just about, you know, just very, very extreme. You know, it's he has a terrible, you know, harmed body there for
he
sure.
He needs a rehab center that I'm going to ask the doctor to send him to a rehab that they know in Jersey. I don't want to touch anything on Long Island. He'll get a rehab center in Jersey, and maybe he's got a little bit of a chance. And this is a chance that we got now to straighten this out. These guys are out of control. The money is out of control. They control everything on the island. It's not only the incinerators and the garbage they control. They control everything. However, I wish Charlie Schumer, Senator Schumer, would understand that the wine that they drank at President Obama's inaugural was laced with dioxins.
Yep,
and I'm
true.
Telling you right on the air, and you could print it. They could blow my brains out tomorrow, because at least I had the chance to talk.
Speaking freely is one of the best things a person can do. I love free speech. That's a wonderful guarantee that our Constitution has. And to have the right to speak freely and do it. There's so many people that they have the right, but they won't do it. They're afraid to do it, and they just hesitate, and they never get it done. But you speak freely, I speak freely, Tom speaks freely. It's good to know.
And you want me
Americans
to tell you something?
Freely.
I hate to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of other people that wish they had the opportunity to do what I'm doing tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of people wish they had the opportunity, because you can't find honest people like you and your brother any longer. It's a society that's done.
You know,
okay.
There's a lot of them that has a deep ring of, you know, kind of reality to it there. And I hope that somehow, maybe it will have to crash and, you know, just go down in order for it to, like, rise back up again. Because I believe in America, you know, it's a beautiful land.
And so
and
do
and
I.
Some of the people are so good, you know. It deserves to be, we got to have a much, much, much better country than
I want to
you know.
Tell you something else, Donald. I put 33 years and 165 days in the New York City Fire Department. And I was recalled to active duty 7 times during those years. My wife was part of the recall because she knew all the admirals that I worked for and all the captains that I worked for. And the only reason why they recalled me is because they could trust me.
Yeah, there you go.
okay? And that's the and what I'm telling you is documented. You could pull my record up from Washington. I'm not afraid to talk to anybody about what this country stood for is going down the drain. What this country stood for, it's going down the drain, and the drain has got to be plugged up so people could stick their heads up again.
Yep, yep. I totally agree with you. This is exactly the way I see it, and hopefully by you bringing the truth out about this situation right here with Tom and that incinerator ash, and yeah, me doing this radio show and interviewing other people, I think it was one of the more recent interviews I did was with this ex-naval person. You know, he was a veteran now. His name was Anthony Thornton, and he was over at Camp Buka in Iraq, and they were doing something very dangerous with chemicals over there. They, you know, they were out, you know, it was in quite a, like, possibly, it appeared, you know, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to even cut them that much, you know, slack on this. For some reason, they were choosing to dispose of the waste of about 30,000 people. You know, there in Long Island,
they
disposed the waste of incinerators. Over there, they were disposing of it by burning it in a pit.
That's right. That was in the Navy Times, Donald. You're not telling me anything. It was in the
Terrible
Navy
thing.
Times.
And then this Anthony Thornton, he got brain cancer, and he has had it recur over and over again. He is struggling for his life. He has, I think, three little daughters, and he's at home now. But the Veterans Administration
wouldn't recognize it.
The Veterans Administration so far has not made a decision about his you know, request for compensation and to deal with this fairly and properly. I have been contacting the Veterans Administration before this ever came up, and now continuing it more intensely, trying to get them to simply warn veterans, and the military, or the defense, the Department of Defense, should also be warning soldiers before they become veterans, warning all these military people, whether they're active or veterans, warning them about their past exposure to dioxins in the Vietnam War, their new exposure to dioxins and PCBs, in breathing this trash fire smoke over in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they will not. They just keep saying, we have messages, and that is not included in our messages.
Let me tell you how that Agent Orange came about. The Agent Orange came about. She was a medical sergeant with the United States Army. This I read in the Navy Times. When she came home, she had noticed that she was having stomach trouble. This was Agent Orange, okay? She went back to Vietnam to the hospitals, and she found scores of people there with the same symptoms that she had. She came back to the United States, and she went to whatever authority she could, and she had hell and high water to prove that it was Agent Orange. They're doing the same thing now with these garbage pits. They're playing the same game. Your own government that uses your men while they stay in their caves in Washington. Okay, that's why Rangel is right. Rangel says there ought to be a draft, and that this go-to-war baloney would be limited.
Right.
Well, anyway, you and I are on the same page anyway. You know, I mean, we're talking about the same stuff because I still get the Navy Times today. Now what they're doing to the military today, you know, they're going to cut the commissaries. They're going to cut the TRICARE. They're going to cut this and they're going to cut that, you know, while Wall Street still gets nice and fat.
Yeah, anyway. There's all kind of things that are being done wrong, and then they just don't seem to get it how to ever do anything and do anything right, you know. It would be just such a simple thing. Just to tell those, you know, those veterans and those soldiers, look, you breathe too much dioxins and PCBs from those trash fires, and, you know, in the time before over in Vietnam, you were exposed to too much of the dioxin and the Agent Orange. You need to be careful about your ongoing exposures to those same chemicals. So don't choose to live quite down on Long Island where they do a bunch of incineration, and don't choose to eat very much animal fat because that animal fat contains these chemicals because of how much these chemicals have been released into the environment for such a long period of time that they're just part of the food supply now.
That's
just like
right.
They're part of the grapes.
That's absolutely
part of the animal
right. They're part of the food supply.
And they won't. They will not get that warning. They refuse to give that warning.
You know why, don't you?
Yeah, because they're afraid of the
15,000 lobbyists, baby. The lobbyists don't go down there with just a freaking questionnaire. They go down there, I'm going to tell you, with the greenola. They all know. They all know. Like I told you, I had about 15 good buddies that got it at 9/11. One of them I was personal friends with, and his name was Peter Ganci, G-A-N-C-I, the chief of department that I knew as a probie. Okay? I don't want to get involved with 9/11. That's another story. 9/11 is another story. But
yeah,
anyway,
I am going to have to do an interview with you about that. You know, we definitely need to do another interview about 9/11.
Oh, boy, could I give you information on 9/11? Could I give you information on 9/11?
That sounds like another interview for sure. Right.
There's thousands and thousands of architects. The thorium that was used, I'm going to tell you, that was painted on the walls. I could tell you loads and loads of stuff. And our president's brother put in the alarm system after the first World Trade Center. Isn't that interesting?
Sure.
I'm 81 years old. What are you going to do, blow my brains out? The facts are out there. The politicians know what's going on. This girl, Sybil Edmonds, who was a linguist for the FBI, found all these, and she was translating these languages into American. Okay?
Sure.
They blackballed her. I had a girl here that was the Susan Linderer, Linderer, who was the blood niece of Andrew Clark. The blood niece of Andrew Clark. Smells like the human spirit. Unbelievable. She wrote a book also. She said that Saddam would have done anything that the Americans wanted. But we had to go to war and get all our guys killed and maimed. Just like now, what they're looking to do. Go to war with Russia if you got the balls. I'm telling you like I feel. And I'm a veteran. Nobody could say that I ain't a veteran. I love the American flag just like anybody. That's why I'm bitching. What they're doing to this country is a disgrace.
Yeah, it's not. They would have us kind of like, you know, they try to cast it as if the people that are complaining are not patriotic. The ones that are complaining are the only ones that are patriotic. You know, the only ones that love the country at all are complaining about
how
bad it
got. And I can name you a million other patriots that I served under. They're all patriots. And some of them would be turning over in their grave if they knew what was going on today.
Exactly.
And some of them are admirals. I had a friend of mine, Edwin. Edwin Daniels, who was Chief Legal United States Coast Guard. That's right. He was an admiral that my wife knew personally and that I knew personally. And patriotism, you couldn't find any more of the patriots that lived during the time that I served.
Yep. Yeah, my
and I was no big deal. I was only a warrant officer. I was no big deal. But they knew I'd be there when I was supposed to be there, and I did my job when I was supposed to, just like any American.
Right.
I wasn't anything special.
Yeah, my dad was in the Navy in World War II, and he was very, very patriotic, and he was a government employee. He worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture as a veterinarian, and he became so dissatisfied and just kind of just unhappy with the way the government was going.
Unbelievable.
He retired early. He just wanted to get out of it. All he wanted to do was get out of it once he found out how, you know, once he started experiencing these new Washington people, the new supervisors he had from Washington. It was just such a mess, you know. They didn't have any respect for the veterinarians, and they just didn't, you know, care about the laws. It just didn't work. You know, they weren't the people that he wanted to work for anymore. So he retired early.
You want me to tell you something? I think we need all females to be in charge of this country. The males have had enough. Let's try the females. Let's try the moms for a change. We use the dads.
Yeah.
I think the moms, we'd be better off. They'd have a little bit more compassion than these dudes got.
We got to change something. Let me see now. Is there anything more you want to add about Tom? You know, just anything. Let's wrap it up.
Yes, there is something more that I want to add about my son.
Okay.
And it's coming to tears. They had a dedicated worker. Even when he had fever, he went to work, and they knew it. Even when my son had fever, he used to get in the car and go to work. His boss had trouble one time keeping track of the containers, the garbage containers. And my son told him what to do, to weld marks on them. He thought my son loved his boss, loved him. And then his boss turned on him like a rat.
Yep.
And I ain't afraid of taking a bullet, baby, because that's exactly what he did. He threw my son to the pigs when my son was crazy for him. He wouldn't have, my son used to beg him to put an air conditioner in the rig, and he wouldn't do it. Even the freaking filter for all the dust, and he wouldn't do it. How miserable a man can you be?
Yep, just basically, you know, just ruin a person's health, you know, knowingly ruin another person's health, you know. So
knowingly ruined is correct, because he lost his union, he lost his workman's comp, and that was another fixed job, which I could tell you. They were taking pictures of the wife and I. And when the wife and I asked who the attorney was, the judge told us, you will not be permitted in this courthouse again. That was a New York State judge telling me, a warrant officer, that I couldn't get the name of the judge that was going in for workman's comp, of the lawyer for my workman's comp son.
Sure.
My son could tell you the story better than me, but she said that the wife and I will be forbidden to go to the next hearing. So now, for my son to go to the next hearing, which is all fixed, they wanted the comp doctor, my son to go to a comp doctor, okay? When my son already had notes from a real lung specialist, okay, and not a comp doctor. And we all know the difference between a regular doctor and a comp doctor, don't we? So I told my kid, Tommy, you might as well not go. And while we're talking, okay, he got an application once from the Federal Medical Leave Act, you know, this hospitalization that he had, with points already checked out. Like, he went to work with this condition, okay? This was the secretary. And then with a neck injury, and this other guy, whatever he is from the work, that keeps sending him letters about to go for a workman's comp test. It's all phonies. I'm going to tell you right on the air because I ain't afraid. It's all payoffs, baby. Okay? Well, they could pay off all they want because there ain't no payoff that's going to shut my mouth and what they did to my kid, that he could very well be on his deathbed. And this is the guy that's talking with credentials.
Well, Ralph, it's been a great interview. I really appreciate this.
God.
And I'm very hopeful that you will give me an interview about the 9/11.
I'll give you anything that you want, any day that you want. I got all the facts on what went on 9/11.
Okay.
I have friends of mine that were told to shut their mouths by the Federal Bureau.
Okay.
That were in one engine and 10 trucks. The two companies that were first to respond. And it just so happened that there was a photographer there that day that nobody knew about. You can go on and on. The country is going down the tubes. Yeah. And until these kids wake up with all the credentials, it's gone.
We can hope
and
for
I
that.
And I want to thank you for what you did.
Yep. Thanks a lot for this interview.
I must have bent your ear bad.
No, I love it. You said what I expected you to say, and knowing what you know about our country and knowing what happened to your kid, you know, it's been a great interview. I value it immensely.
And I value you for being honest and having this interview. And you could rest assured that what I told you, I can back up. I got the names of my buddies still in my heart that died on 9/11 because they had to die to go in the building to try and save people while the buildings were collapsing on them.
Well, that's
and incidentally, Peter Gansey got decapitated.
Wow.
He
let's
was the one.
Let's wrap it up for tonight, and then we'll do that soon.
Okay, Donald. And I want to thank you. And my son needs help.
Yep.
My
and
son
we'll try
needs
to find
help.
Some help for him. I'm trying to find an attorney for him. We'll keep on that, and hopefully soon it'll turn out.
They gave us a name tonight. I think he's up in Buffalo, whatever
it
is.
Richard Lippitz.
Okay.
Yep.
I will mention it on the air, and thank you.
Okay.
And I have to tell you the truth. I may not know you, but I love you because I love your honesty. And I
well,
know
I love
you're
your
an
honesty. I love
and
your
I know
honesty,
you're
Ralph.
An American.
Yep. Good, honest Americans. That's what this is all about.
That's right.
And we will fix this. Some,
I hope
one
so.
Way or another. Yep.
I hope so.
Well,
and
thanks,
thank
Ralph.
You for and thank you for caring.
Yep.
Okay, Donald.
Yep.
All right, goodbye and thank
have a great
you
night.
For, bye. Goodbye now. Bye.
Yep, bye. This has been Donald Hussig with Grassroots Environmental Revolution Radio. I'm just talking with Ralph Andaloro. Ralph has been through a lot with his son being harmed by the ash that was present in that ash building at the Babylon Covanta, the Covanta Babylon incinerator site. And I'm hoping that people will start rising up. People will start telling the truth, bringing the truth out. People will start listening, thinking, doing what they can do, all of us doing it together to bring back the America that we know existed in the previous generations. And we can do this. We can get a good government again. We can have a clean environment. We can turn it around and go back to good old days. This is Donald Hussig with Grassroots Environmental Radio. Have a good night.